I believe that God has a sense of humor. Elsewise, this past summer, National Youth Conference, I've already mentioned this, when I had planned to lead a workshop on, if you will, the spirituality of walking. A workshop which, by necessity, I needed to lead from a wheelchair. God has a sense of humor. Similarly, as I have shared this morning, on a day when I'm preaching about adverse situations and how God can work with us through them. To come home from district conference and not have any water. It's amazing what you can do with just a little bit of water in the sink. I don't think I smell. Although it was rather difficult explaining to my cat why I could not turn on the faucet so that he could drink. In this morning's scripture, we hear the word of Jeremiah, the word of God, to the exiles in Babylon. A situation that maybe wasn't as bad as it could have been. For these persons taken from Jerusalem, way across the desert, to the Fertile Crescent, what we call the Fertile Crescent, they were not in chains. They had the potential of living out their lives in this place, not in a necessarily a prison. Their circumstances, yes, were not what they desired, but they could survive. They could live. Of course, there were those who were saying among them, yes, this is a bad situation, but God is going to come and God is going to take us home soon. It's going to happen tomorrow. Not so, Jeremiah said, because there are things that need to happen in exile. There are things that need to happen in exile. Exile can be fertile territory. Difficult circumstances can be the ground out of which new things can sprout and grow. Now, saying that, I don't wish to be heard as a Pollyanna saying that, well, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. Losing a job is not like getting a lemon, right? Having a loved one die is not like being given a lemon. Facing into divorce is not like being given a lemon. Nobody likes to receive that kind of lemon. Nobody anticipates warmly the thought of exile. But exile can be the place where that scripture which says, in all things God works for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose, that can be the very place where things happen, which are astonishing. It was so for the exiles. It has been said by the scholars that have studied this that in exile, God's people truly became a people when they could no longer depend upon, well, a king, a castle, a temple, all the trappings of power, all the trappings of, you know, the things we depend upon to give meaning to our lives. When all these things were pulled out from under them, they became the people of the book with a faith that still lives. It is said that a huge portion of this library we call the Bible was either written or written down as remembered, especially the Old Testament part, which came into existence in this period of time. It was a vital time. It was a hell of experience too, but it was a vital time. As anybody has been through a period of exile will tell you, that is the time when faith flowers. You know, I look back upon my life and look back upon some of the, you know, how many, 28 years worth of sermons? You know, the sermons that as I look back at them, are better than mediocre? Are the ones that came out of these rough times. And for y'all, I mean, think of your life as a sermon. It's a testimony. And think of your difficult experiences. You know, it's not like you can preach a sermon right smack dab in the middle of it, but down the road as you look back, And try to make meaning from these situations and stuff, amazing things come out. They do. That's the promise. But we got to go through them. And what Jeremiah told those exiles in Babylon is, ain't going to be tomorrow. Sorry, folks. 70 years. Sounds familiar. Years. How many years was it in that the children of Israel were in the wilderness between Egypt and the promised land? 40. That's whole generations there. And even the leader of that particular band, Moses, didn't get to come over into the promised land. Similar situation in the exile. 70. I'm not sure it actually worked out to be exactly 70, but you know, numbers in the Bible are there for meaning, not necessarily so that we can count the days. They're there for what they mean, and seven is a significant number. Just like, you know, this whole bit, didn't Jesus talk about how many times we are to forgive somebody? Not seven times, that's a good number, by the way. Not 70 times, but 70 times seven. I mean, are we supposed to face into forgiving another person by counting off? Okay, we're on the 69th time. You only have one more. No, that's not how the Bible operates. That's not how God operates. But within all of that is some good stuff that God is working. And you notice something that God said to those people in that foreign land. Remember, they were living in the home of the enemy. Babylon was not their friend. I mean, yes, the kings of Israel at certain points, they kind of vacillated between, at one point, you know, the Assyrian Empire over here, well, let's, you know, they're kind of the dominant ones. We'll sort of hook ourselves to that star and oops, they're diminishing. Well, okay, Egypt's over here. Let's hook ourselves onto Egypt over here. Ooh, they just went into battle with the Babylonians who are rising over here. And oops, at Carchemish, they lost. And that's why they were taken over, because they hooked on to the wrong empire. Or was it their poor choices of empires? Maybe it was more their poor choices of leaning on God. Because empires come and go. Political parties wane and fall. God remains constant. In the middle of that, Jeremiah said to these people who were living in the backyard of the enemy, seek the welfare of the city. You know, the city he was talking about wasn't Jerusalem. It was Babylon. Seek the welfare of the city. Go about daily life. Live out your life where you're planted. Just live. Don't live thinking, well, tomorrow, I'll live so far, and then, because sooner or later, and hopefully sooner, I'll be able to turn around and walk this way. No, live in the situation that you're faced with. Have children, raise your children, your children's children, just go one step at a time. Don't we use that? This is where it comes from, by the way. This is kind of the biblical idea of living where you're at. Living it out. And not only, praying against your situation and against your enemy, but praying for the welfare of the city. Okay, can I be political right now? Hopefully in a God-centered way. If you're a Republican, when a Democrat is in power, pray for the welfare of the city. When you're a Democrat and the Republicans are in power, pray for the welfare of the city. You got it? Okay, enough of that. Because there is a promise. And what's the promise behind that? For all who are in exile. And in one time or in another of our lives, we face into an exile. And some say we're in a period of exile right now. They call it the recession. They say the recession is over. Do many of us believe it? I don't know. We're going through an angry time. This is a lot of people angry out there, and a lot of politicians locking on to that, and because it seems to be that they want politicians to be angry. We've got a lot of angry politicians out there. It is a time of anger, a time of exile. There's things are changing around us. The good old days we hearken back to, maybe they weren't the good old days to start with, but we long for, but God is doing a new thing, and we just don't know exactly what that is. The church is going through a rough time overall. We're changing. Things are changing. We don't know. Where are the young adults that used to be here? They're not, when they have kids, it used to be that young adults would come back to church. Well, guess what? They're not. It's a difficult time. It is a difficult time. Through it all, we seek the welfare of the city, and we live by the promise of God, who takes difficult situations and creates something God knew. Godly beginnings. Fresh. There in our own situation. And I like those words. It says, there when those years are over, when that time span is done, that you've been working through, that you've seeking to walk faithfully is to the best of your ability, and that's all you can do. Just trying to walk, trying to follow Jesus, trying to walk with God. You're not asked to necessarily do the miraculous. It's God who does the miraculous. But then comes the word. Did you hear it? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek, when you search for me, God promises, you will find me. If you seek me with all of your heart, I will let you find me. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you. Because God has something new in mind. But it takes time. It takes time. It takes time. Don't be afraid. Don't have a spirit of fear. But rather, live by what God gives and what God provides today. Because that's all you're asked to live. Just today. And that's enough. You have what you need.